Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, October 16th, 2021, weekend edition. Analysts. High energy prices coming, by Mella McEwen. Cold air will not be the only thing giving consumers chills this winter. Calling it a winter of discontent, analysts at S&P Global Platts forecast continued high energy prices into next year. We're heading into a winter of discontent, where across all sectors, supply is struggling to keep up with the rebound in demand, leading to spikes in commodity prices, stated Chris Midley, global head of analytics at S&P Global Platts, during an online briefing meeting to discuss the energy outlook. There's no question consumers will feel the pinch of high energy prices, and not just high energy prices, but that will feed into other commodities, foodstuff, the cost of moving around, delivering Christmas gifts. He said the current spike in crude and natural gas prices is more a commodity bubble than a super cycle. A super cycle is when you have a supply crunch. Supply can't keep up with demand. A bubble is when you see a surge in demand. He added that oil and gas demand has certainly surged as it recovers from the worst effects of the pandemic. The speed with which demand has recovered has supply struggling to keep up. Adding to the oil supply crunch is the jump in natural gas prices, which is prompting a market correction. But in the meantime, Texans will continue to see the cost of goods and energy and services rise. This would be exacerbated by the current administration's rush to move away from reliable sources of domestic energy, very similar to what's playing out in Europe. While the energy crisis in Europe should be a cautionary tale for the U.S., some in Washington are again ironically trying to copy many of the same policies. He cited the Biden administration's comment that all tools in the toolbox are under consideration to address rising energy prices, but those options are limited and could actually make the situation worse. Further, the proposals being debated right now in the reconciliation package, primarily the methane tax, would have a devastating impact on thousands of Texas operators, millions of families, and would result in a greater reliance on foreign sources of energy and even higher prices for goods and services for everyday Texans. The lack of a coherent energy strategy for the U.S. will have a very real consequence for American families struggling to pay their bills and put food on the table. Energy poverty is a real issue that many policymakers attacking oil and natural gas choose to ignore. In certain areas of Texas, low-income households pay up to 28% of their monthly income to cover their energy needs. Even a slight increase in energy prices could force families to choose between their groceries or keeping the lights on. Area gas prices up from a year ago, by Stuart Doreen. The spike in gas prices means that drivers in Midland are paying $1.10 a gallon on average compared to the same time last year. AAA Texas reported this week that the price jumped 2 cents in Midland to $3.08, which is the second highest average in the state, behind El Paso. The price fell to $3.07 in Odessa. Odessa and El Paso were the only two larger metropolitan areas in the state of the 27 surveyed where the price fell week over week. 1 year ago, the price in Midland averaged $1.98. Midland was one of four metropolitan areas where the price increased $1.10 or more. The state averaged increase $1.07 during the same time. AAA Texas also reported this week that the statewide gas price average is at its highest price point in 7 years. The key driver for this recent rise in the price of gas, according to the organization, is crude oil, which typically accounts for between 50 to 60% of the price at the pump. With more people traveling and returning to the office, demand for fuel is on the rise. Factor in surging crude oil prices due to OPEC Plus foregoing further production increases, and we're seeing a trend that we're not used to seeing in October. AAA Texas also reported that while drivers in Texas are experiencing sticker shock at the pump, they're still paying the cheapest prices in the country. Texas ranks first in lowest statewide gas price. Averages across the region include $2.85 in Lubbock, and the lowest average in the state, $2.89 in Amarillo, $2.98 in San Angelo, and $2.99 in Abilene. The state average is $2.93, and the national average moved up to $3.30 a gallon. Is energy crisis in Europe a cautionary tale for the U.S.? By Mellon McEwen. Continued shortages of natural gas and coal are boosting demand for crude to fuel power generation, depleting crude stockpiles. That, in turn, is pushing crude prices to seven-year highs. West Texas Intermediate spent the week above the $80 level for the first time since the fall of 2014, rising four or five trading days, recording only a 20-cent drop Wednesday. Prices rose 97%, up from $80.52 at Monday's close. Crude prices posted an eighth consecutive weekly increase, the longest stretch since 2015. The posted price ended the week at $78.26. Natural gas prices on the NYMEX have retreated from their 13-year highs, rising three of five trading days this week. Crude prices had risen more than 70% this year. I'm ecstatic about current prices, but I don't think they're here long term, David Bledsoe said. The world still has about 5 million barrels of oil per day offline waiting to return, and that will push prices back down once the emotion dies down. I think the current upturn is more emotional than structural. In fact, the storage has built over the last 2 weeks and not continued to fall. Of course, the true answer is nobody knows. In an online media event to unveil their energy outlook for the fourth quarter into 2022, analysts warned of a winter of discontent as consumers face high energy prices trying to keep warm this winter. The key risk for U.S. consumers is a cold winter, said Simon Thorne. If current capital discipline continues to constrain oil field activity and winter demand is strong, gas prices at Henry Hub could soar to $12 to $14 per MBTU, which will hurt the U.S. economy. He also sees U.S. producers' commitment to capital discipline contributing to supply tightness and thus higher oil prices. He said the high prices should have brought a more significant response in terms of increased production. You have to ask if capital discipline will end, and if so, when. And if it does not, that's a key risk to the production outlook. Like Thorne, Ed Longenecker sees that capital discipline combined with the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries' recent decision to not further increase output in the short term are all continuing to a tightness in supply as economic conditions continue to improve. Until we find the right balance, commodity prices are likely to rise even further, adding to inflationary pressures. Eventually, we will reach a pain point and subsequent switch from natural gas to oil for fuel, which is expected to add 500,000 barrels a day to demand this year. S&P Global Platts is forecasting flat prices above $75 through July, dipping below $70 in August and rebounding back above $75 in September of next year. The energy analytics company also expects supplies to tighten further in the second half of 2022. Midgley said analysts have been surprised by the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and their allies declined to increase production recently, signaling even tighter markets next year. He said OPEC Plus spare capacity could handle one major supply disruption, but not multiple disruptions, but especially in the second half of next year. That illustrates why it's important that the U.S. and Iran revive their nuclear deal and return about 1.5 million barrels a day of Iranian oil to the market. Simon Thorne sees U.S. producers' commitment to capital discipline contributing to supply tightness. There's less excitement to really ramp up, said Thorne, citing a reluctance to significantly invest in fossil fuels as the energy transition gets underway. He said the high prices should have brought a more significant response in terms of increased production. You have to ask if capital discipline will end, and if so, when. And if it doesn't, that's a key risk to the production outlook. The key risk for U.S. consumers is a cold winter. If current capital discipline continues to constrain oil field activity and winter demand is strong, gas prices at Henry Hub could soar to $12 to $14 per MBTU, which will hurt the U.S. economy. All the rig count increase and production increase is coming from small operators. The analysts turn to Europe as a cautionary tale for the U.S., as European countries have implemented carbon prices that are laid on top of the cost of oil or gas, pushing consumer prices even higher. The carbon price has done nothing but cause consumers pain, said Midgley. It doesn't help decarbonization, it just causes the consumer pain. U.S. refiners are expected to see improved margins as they are more able to access lower cost fuel, whereas refiners in Europe and Asia will more likely be forced to buy high-priced gas and thus may trim runs. U.S. agriculture could undergo a transformation, said Patricia Louise Manso. She explained that expanding renewable diesel and sustainable aviation fuel production could reduce U.S. farmers' reliance on exports for soybeans and other oil seeds. An estimated 3 million acres of corn will switch to soybeans, leading to higher corn prices and weaker ethanol margins. City of Midland sales tax collection falls, kind of. By Stuart Doreen. A four-month positive sales tax streak in Midland ended in October as the Texas Comptroller reported a 19.44 decrease during the first month of the new year. The City of Midland had showed increases from June through September. However, the Comptroller showed Midland collected $3.885 million, which was nearly $1 million less than October 2020. City of Midland officials said last October 2020 they received an adjustment. Audit collections were received in the amount of $2 million, which city officials said is a rare occurrence. If you remove the audit adjustment, the actual sales collections for October 2021 were 22% higher than October 2020. Sales tax revenue is generated by sales tax revenue from 2 months prior to collection. That is, October's collection is based on August sales. ECISD to add virtual option by Caitlin Randall. ECISD will begin offering an online learning option November 1. While the district leaders recommend as many students as possible participate in on-campus learning due to the academic and social-emotional benefits, ECISD also understands parent and student concerns about COVID. The virtual academy will be open to students from kindergarten to 12th grade. Students will not be eligible to enroll if they did not perform well during online learning last year, failed a STAR or end-of-course exam, or have 10 or more unexcused absences. ECISD has contracted a third-party entity to provide the teachers and curriculum for the virtual academy. The deadline to enroll at the virtual academy is October 22nd. Permian accounts for about half the nation's rigs, by Mella McEwen. More rigs continue to dot the horizon around the nation as oil and gas operators increase activity. Baker Hughes and Enverus said Friday the U.S. rig count jumped 10 rigs, more than the 282 at work across the U.S. last October. It's the sixth consecutive weekly increase in rig activity, which remains at an 18-month high. The number of rigs drilling for crude leaped by 12 to 445. The number drilling for natural gas slipped by 1 to 98. Texas added 3 rigs. The Permian Basin, which accounts for just under half the nation's rigs, added 1 rig to make 267 at work across the region. That's 137 more at work in the Permian last year. The most active operators in the U.S. are currently Pioneer Natural Resources, EOG Resources, Mewbourne Oil, and Devon Energy, and ConocoPhillips and Continental Resources. Only 2 operators added or dropped more than 1 rig over the last week, both of them privately held. Carmen Schmidt brought 2 rigs on in the Anadarko and the Salina. Val Energy dropped both its rigs in the Anadarko and the Cherokee platform. A UTB STEM Academy staff member has been placed on administrative leave following a sexual assault allegation. The UTB Police Department was informed Thursday of an allegation of sexual assault brought forward by a student against a staff member at the STEM Academy. The incident is said to have occurred during the spring of 2021. UTPB police immediately launched an investigation and notified the parents of all appropriate authorities. The well-being and safety of all of our students is our highest value. Under no circumstances does the university or the STEM Academy tolerate any inappropriate conduct by its employees. We will continue to work with the appropriate authorities and take action consistent with the law and institutional policy in handling this matter, UTBB said in a statement. A teacher at Nimitz Middle School has been arrested and charged with online solicitation of minors. The press release states the teacher was placed on leave after ECISD became aware of the allegation. The professional expectations of our staff members are very clear, and this type of behavior will not be tolerated. The release states, the safety of our students is our top priority, and we will continue to work with law enforcement as they investigate this situation. Billy Yehu passed away on Thursday, October 14th. The family will receive guests from 6 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, October 19th at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Funeral service will be at 1 p.m. Wednesday, October 20th at the Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Dolly Jean Calhoun of Midland passed away on October 13th. Visitation will be at 1 p.m. Monday, October 18th at the funeral home, and funeral services will be at 2 p.m. First United Methodist Church in Midland. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services in Midland. Don Andrews DeSantis passed away on October the 12th. Viewing will be Sunday, October 17th from 1 to 9 p.m. with rosary at 7 p.m. at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Mass will be on Tuesday, October 19th at St. Stephen's Catholic Church at 10 a.m. Judy Metz Jackson died unexpectedly on August 25th. A celebration of life will be held October 22nd at 2 p.m. on the front lawn of 1601 North D in Midland. Judy was cremated, and her ashes will join Bill's at the family farm on Saturday, October 23rd, followed by a short reception. Sabrina Berenda Ortega passed away on October 14th. Viewing will be Monday, October 18th from 1 to 9:30 p.m. at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Midland, with an evening prayer service at 7. Funeral service will be Tuesday at 10 a.m. at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Shauna Hawk Moran passed away on October the 2nd at Juniper Village Memory Care in Louisville, Colorado. A service will be held at Living Way Four Square Church in Midland at 11:30 a.m. on Monday. Flowers may be sent or memorial contributions may be made to Living Way Four Square Church, Carl Robinson, passed away on October 12th. A visitation will be on November 6th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. A church service will be held on Friday, November 5th at 1 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Marfa, with interment of ashes at the Marfa Cemetery following. Sandra Kurau, 79, of Midland, passed away on October 12th. Funeral service will be at 1 p.m. Tuesday, October 19th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home, with interment at Sunset Memorial Gardens following.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Saturday, October 16th. Nimitz teacher charged with online solicitation. A 28-year-old teacher at Nimitz Middle School was arrested after he reportedly exposed himself on Snapchat to a 13-year-old girl student. Jovan Jacob Pando was charged with online solicitation of a minor, under 14, a second-degree felony. According to a press release issued by ECISD, Pando was placed on administrative leave when the school became aware of the allegation, and the school has been working with the police since that time. The ECISD issued a statement in response to Jovan's arrest. The professional expectations of our staff members are very clear, and this type of behavior will not be tolerated. The safety of our students is top priority, and we will continue to work with law enforcement as they investigate this situation. On September 17th, the Odessa Police Department was informed of a 13-year-old girl from Nimitz Middle School who reported to ECISD police inappropriate communication from her math teacher via Snapchat Messenger. The girl reportedly told ECISD police that in the end of August 2021, she received a friend request from a username she didn't recognize. The girl reported upon accepting the friend request, she received a video snap message from a person she identified to be her math teacher, Pando, exposing himself to her. The girl reportedly stated she blocked Pando in response to the video. The girl stated the Snapchat video didn't save. A Harmony Home forensic child interview was held with the girl on October 5th. The girl provided a detailed outcry of the conduct from Pando and the background of the room where Pando captured the video and sent to her. The girl reportedly detailed after Pando sent her a friend request, he submitted a fixed 5-second Snapchat video of him sitting in a chair facing a mirror exposing himself. The girl identified the wall, chair, and door color, as well as other details of the room where the video was captured. On October 7th, a search warrant was executed at the residence of Pando. The bedroom he identified to be his was searched, and the room was observed to be as specifically as described by the girl. On October 8th, Nimitz ECISD administration was reportedly contacted and confirmed that Pando did not have the 13-year-old girl assigned to him in a class last year when virtual classes were held for this school. Administration additionally confirmed that there had not been any Zoom virtual classes this year when the girl was a student of Pando's, which negates any claim that the girl had knowledge of Pando's bedroom through online Zoom classes. During the investigation, it was identified that Pando had 3 previous incidents reported against him by family. These allegations by family were made surrounding inappropriate communication of offensive contact by Pando toward 3 minor siblings. The conduct investigated against Pando was determined to be grooming in nature, but not yet criminal. Pando was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on Thursday. He had 1 bond totaling $40,000 and posted bail the same day. Board learns about medical plan change. A change in medical plans was discussed at the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees workshop. Benefits coordinator Eric Smith, an independent contractor, and Yolanda Gordon, director of benefits and risk management with the district, made the presentation at the workshop, which included a switch from Blue Cross Blue Shield to Aetna and included a clinic that would be located nearby. Smith said the move should generate about $750,000 in planned savings. Aetna is putting a full-time customer service claims advocate on site at ECISD, Smith said. The presentation showed that ECISD will have a dedicated customer service team and dedicated toll-free number. Aetna is building an ECISD dedicated website to assist employees with provider searches, general plan information, and more, the presentation showed. Members will have access to CVS Health Hubs at no cost for after-hours and weekend acute care visits. A move from Express Scripts to PCARX was recommended. The move will generate about $1 million in plan savings, the presentation showed. Employees will now have access to both CVS and Walgreens pharmacies. Currently, they only have access to CVS. They will have Texas-based customer service, and lower copays are expected for all members. The presentation showed that the clinic is expected to open in the middle of January to provide all employees and dependents on the health plan direct access to care. The initial first-year cost will be approximately $1.4 million. The savings generated in costs will be offset by doctors' claim cost, decreased emergency room visit, decreased urgent care visits, disease management savings. The clinic will be staffed with a doctor, nurse practitioner, and four medical assistants. It will be open 40 hours a week, and hours are to be determined. All services will be provided at no cost to employees on the health plan, visits, lab work, shots, etc. Exceptions to this are those on the health savings account plan who will have a $25 copay. Open enrollment will be from November 1st to December 3rd, and there will be no increase in premiums this year. The plan is designed to provide little disruption to employees. Help will be available from First Financial on every campus to help with enrollment. Employees will receive new medical and pharmacy ID cards. The presentation said they will work with the outgoing pharmacy vendors to get mail order prescription and prior authorizations transferred over. If this does not happen, members may have to get a new prescription from their provider, and they will grandfather prior authorizations for 90 days to ease the transition. They are looking for a site currently. There will be an on-site Aetna person. Smith said he has told Aetna that person has to be bilingual. Chief Financial Officer Deborah Otmers said they already have a First Financial person locally. Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction Lilia Nanez presented MAP, or Measure of Academic Progress, data to the board. Nanez reviewed where the district started, where it is now, and how ECISD is responding with accelerated learning plans. Last year, testing began with kindergarten through 8th grade reading and math, English 1 and 2, and Algebra 1. This year, we expanded our experiences and our journey with MAP by adding 3rd through 8th grade science. All of this is important, especially because, again, science is part of our accountability system, and we must be able to track student achievement and growth in that content area. The local results were overlaid with national results that showed students in kindergarten and first grade above the national norm for 2020 and at it for 2021. But as students went through the grades, gaps occurred. She said there was a huge improvement in participation rates between the beginning of the year in 2020 and this fall. Many students were phased in last year and remote testing was provided, but it was difficult. It was something new for schools across the country, but we are very pleased with the participation rate for 2021, beginning of the year, as we had 98% of our students district-wide engage in the MAP, beginning of the year assessment with the elementary, being at 99% this beginning of the year. So we're very pleased with that, Nanez said. But beginning in second grade, and as the students move through the grade spans, There is a gap between the national norm and ECISD grade levels. You will notice that the gap between the national norm and the ECISD grade level norm grew. That was really telling me it was very good for us to see. The same story was with reading. Last year, our kindergarten students were well above the national norm. So you'll see the national RIT norm was 137. Our kindergarten students were at 143 a year ago. Same thing for first grade in reading. 158 was ECISD's norm, while the national norm was at 156. The winter assessment will be given in January. A report will be given to the board in either late February or March. The spring assessment will be done in April. We're very eager to see that as well, because that will give us that final snapshot of what MAP is going to predict for our students on STAR, and we will share that data with you as well. The summer assessment will be given for our summer learning experience and to ensure that students are continuing their learning journey through the summer. And then in 22-23, we're going to add the high school biology MAP assessment for that year, Nanez said. Board member Carol Gregg asked about projections for schools that are in their fifth year of improvement required or beyond. What does the data show? Are we going to have multiple campuses in 5 years? Gregg asked. Nanez said the data shows the prediction from the MAP scores. We can run the numbers for you to see what the possible ratings are. But in order to get out of IR, all the campuses have to be at a C rating, she said. Superintendent Scott Murray said the state accountability system right now is heavily reliant upon growth. You're only looking at proficiency tonight, and this is a projection of the proficiency level, but we have no idea what growth is going to look like at the end of the year, and that is a significant piece that many of our low-performing schools depend upon to really help them go from where they would be with proficiency to a much higher place, Murray said. Murray said over half of the campuses would be failing based on proficiency on the data. And you can draw the poverty line. 56% in our school district, poverty. You can almost take that same number and apply it to our schools if you look at proficiency. We would have over half of our schools on IR, Murray said. Murray said the state accountability system will only give schools A's, B's, and C's this year. There will be no D's or F's, he said. Quick hits. An apology. The Odessa American always strives to publish news that is accurate and objective, and we believe it important that when we miss the mark, we need to take responsibility for that failure. Such is the case with a news story published Friday on our front page, which reported on a local town hall by U.S. Representative August Pfluger. We believe the story contained inflammatory language and mischaracterizations of Pfluger's remarks. It struck a tone of commentary, not news. It failed to meet our standards of producing news that has been accurately and objectively reported. And for all those reasons, we are truly sorry and offer our humblest apologies to the congressman and to our readers. We respect Pfluger. He has always been professional and polite. And he has always given the gift of candor, not only to this newspaper, but also to the communities he serves. During his Thursday town hall, the congressman, yet again, was merely trying to inform the people he serves. We are ashamed we did not accurately and objectively share what he had to say with a larger audience. Rest assured, we have taken appropriate disciplinary action to help ensure this does not happen again. And we pledge to redouble our efforts to live up to our commitment to be the indispensable source of news and information to the communities we serve. Local News Roundup. Hispanic Heritage Events. Hispanic Heritage of Odessa are looking for vendors, food trucks, car show entries, and any parade participants for Dia de los Muertos Halloween parade celebration October 30th. The parade will take place from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. and the Katrina show from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. For makeup artists, call Sofia Renteria at 432-305-8000. 5557, or Ari Rodriguez at 432-934-4183. To sign up or for more information, call Liliana Marquez at 432-894-8128, Jesse Porras at 432-770-9423, Carol Uranta, 432-889-8128. Odessa Parks and Recreation has scheduled a free fall fun event starting at 6:30 p.m. October 23rd at McKinney Park, 625 West Poole Road. The Pilot Club of Odessa will be giving away bicycle helmets while supplies last. There will also be food truck vendors, entertainment by the Ricardo Alonso, the UV Speed Painter, flight crew, and more. Bring your lawn chairs and blankets. Permian Casino Night. Oilfield Helping Hands has scheduled its inaugural Permian Casino Night, October 28th, at Rolling Sevens Ranch, 11700 West County Road, 122, Midland. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Gaming runs from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., with the event concluding at midnight. A $250 ticket includes event entry, drinks, heavy hors d'oeuvres, one raffle ticket, and $1,000 in play money. There will be craps, double roulette, blackjack, slot machines, a raffle, and much more. There are also a variety of corporate sponsorship packages available, which include logo, branding, play money, and group entry ticket package options. To purchase a ticket to the event and contribute to helping oilfield families in financial need, visit Permian Casino Night registration at tinyurl.com/JSBZWMJH. Halloween. Downtown Odessa, Inc. has scheduled Halloween activities. Scavenger Hunt, October 22nd through the 30th, Downtown Odessa. The hunt participants will get to collect points for a chance to win prizes. The trunk-o-treat will take place from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. October 30th. Movie in the Park will begin at 8 p.m. It is free to participate, and there will be a trunk tent decorating contest between all participating businesses. There will also be games, food trucks, music, and more. For more information, call 432-335-4682 or email amoulakis at odessa-tx-gov. Dia de los Muertos. Hispanic Cultural Center of Midland has scheduled a Hispanic celebration, the Day of the Dead, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. October 30th at the Museum of the Southwest, 1705 West Missouri Avenue, Midland. There will be a display of altars, trees of life, arts, crafts, activities, food, dance, and music. Malloween. Music City Mall, 4101 East 42nd Street, has scheduled Malloween from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. October 30th. Kids and families in costume are welcomed to trick-or-treat for free in a safe and climate-controlled setting. For more information, call 432-550-2483. Ebony Bar Award. The Black Chamber of Commerce of the Permian Basin will present the 31st Annual Ebony Bar Award honoring Odessa College President Gregory D. Williams at 5 p.m. November 13th at the Odessa Country Club, 1 Fairway Drive. Speaker will be Nathaniel Hearn. There will also be cocktails and dinner. Tickets are $50 per person. Senior citizens are $40. Attire is black tie formal. For tickets or more information, call 432-257-2055. Bond Committee Meeting Set. A public meeting of the Ector County Independent School District Bond Advisory Committee to discuss a possible bond issue has been scheduled for 6 p.m. October 21st in the Odessa High School cafeteria, 1301 North Dotsie Avenue. It is possible that a quorum of the ECISD board could be present and may take part in the discussions. Early voting set. Early voting for the November 2nd constitutional amendments election runs from October 18th through October 29th. Voters are welcome to call the elections office for location information. For Odessa, call 498-4030 and Midland 688-4890. Or visit Secretary of State www.sos.state.tx.us. STEM teacher placed on leave. The UTPB Police Department on Thursday was informed of an allegation of sexual assault brought forward by a student against a staff member at the STEM Academy. The alleged incident is said to have occurred during the spring 2021 semester. In accordance with established principles and protocols, the STEM Academy has placed the staff member on administrative leave. UTPB police immediately launched an investigation and notified the parents and all appropriate authorities. The well-being and safety of all of our students is our highest value. Under no circumstances does the university or the STEM Academy tolerate any inappropriate conduct by its employees. We will continue to work with the appropriate authorities and will take action consistent with the law and institutional policy in handling this matter. Because an investigation is underway, the release said no further comment can be provided at this time. Odessa celebrates inaugural Athletics Hall of Fame class by Chris Amaya. The impact of Odessa College golf coach Paul Chavez could be seen in the athletes he has coached up in almost 25 years with the Wranglers program. When he was inducted into the inaugural Odessa Athletics Hall of Fame class Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, he told stories of golfers Jeremy Langdale and Justin Fraley. "Probably the thing that separates my program from the rest is all the kids buy in, they work hard, they want to be the best, and we try to push our athletes to that point," said Chavez, who guided the Wranglers to national championships in 2004, 2005, and 2017. "I've read many times, a good coach can change a game, but a great coach can change a life." Chavez was among six Odessa athletics figures inducted into Hall of Fame's inaugural class. Other figures honored included former Permian Texas Tech and WNBA basketball standout Angela Brazil Smith, track star Johnny Gentry, former Odessa High and Odessa College baseball coach Julian Presley, former Permian football coach and ECISD athletic director John Wilkins, and former Permian University of Texas and NFL star Roy Williams. Each inductee had a few minutes to give a speech when they were presented a plaque acknowledging the honor. Latasha Gentry was there to receive her father's award since Johnny Gentry died in 2018. The track star's daughter mentioned the pride she had in the accomplishments her father achieved throughout his life. Before the ceremony officially began, Latasha Gentry was gifted a plaque from her father's 1967 state track and field title by a family friend. Latasha Gentry said she still runs into people around the city who tell her about the positive influence her father had on their lives, always checking on those in need. "Anyone who knew my father knows that not only was he an extremely talented athlete with a track record that still wows people today," she said, "my father is my personal angel, and I know that he's looking down on me at this very moment." Presley was in attendance where he spoke about the athletes he worked with since starting his impact in the sport within the city in 1953. He racked up 162 wins while coaching the Broncos and 163 when he was at Odessa College. Presley, 97, was followed up by another legendary coach in Wilkins. When Wilkins took the stage, he told the audience what went into creating a championship culture and legacy with the Panthers. He took Permian to state titles in 1980 and 1984, and he reached the state finals in 1975 and 1985. Wilkins described the way players were motivated to play at the top of their games by putting in extra time and effort. "I had young men who were academically smart and football IQ smart," Wilkins said. "Our teams were quick. We weren't fast, but I don't think that we played hardly any other team that was as quick as we were." The state championship-winning coach added that people had to be there to see and feel what made his teams special throughout his tenure at Permian. Wilkins also discussed the movements he made toward gender pay equity during his time as athletic director from 1985 to 98, pushing for a change that he believes should have taken place sooner than it did. Inductees who made impacts as student athletes were Brazil Smith and Williams, both leaving their mark at Permian at different points in the 1990s. The former graduated from Permian in 1995 and went on to play basketball collegiately at South Plains College and Texas Tech. She went on to be selected in the first WNBA draft in 1999. Brazil Smith was the Permian girls' head basketball coach from 2009 to 2019, ultimately leaving her coaching job to become an assistant principal at the school. In her speech, she thanked her family members for the unconditional support they have given throughout her ventures in the sports and professional world. "I hope that this recognition for our work can serve as an inspiration to others," Brazil Smith said. "I will continue my efforts to encourage, engage, and equip others to believe in the possibilities and positively impact the life of every person I meet for years to come." Roy Williams closed out the ceremony with a tribute to the legacy of Wilkins and what he built at Permian. Williams praised Wilkins for the positive effect he had on his brother and other athletes who passed through the Panther program. "Without you, there probably wouldn't be a Lloyd Hill, and there probably wouldn't be a Roy Williams," he said. "You were it, man. You were Permian football, and I'm honored to be here with you." He spoke about his ventures living in cities like Chicago, Austin, and Dallas, but returning to Odessa because it was his home. As he was finishing his speech, Williams made time to introduce and recognize his children, Jordan, Peyton, and Dallas, wearing a red and black tie to represent Texas Tech, with red and white shoes for Odessa High. Williams made sure to end the ceremony with a light-hearted touch. "I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those two teams," Williams said, "Odessa High and Texas Tech. Why? Because I never lost to them." ECISD to open virtual academy for qualifying students. Though it has been shown that students are best able to learn and grow when they are physically in school, ECISD County, Hector County ISD understands parent and student concerns about COVID-19. Beginning November 1st, ECISD will offer a virtual academy option to qualifying students. The deadline to enroll in the ECISD Virtual Academy is October 22nd. Students who choose the Virtual Academy will not be enrolled in their home campus and therefore may not participate in activities on that campus. No ECISD teachers will teach Virtual Academy courses, as the district has contracted with a third party to provide the teachers as well as the curriculum. Parents may contact the ECISD Curriculum and Instruction Department with any questions at 432-456-8492. The Virtual Academy is open to students pre-kindergarten through 12th grade. Students of any age who qualify for homebound services as medically fragile are also eligible. However, restrictions apply and students are not eligible for the virtual academy if they did not perform well in virtual learning during the 2020-21 school year, failed a STAR or end-of-course exam, have 10 or more unexcused absences. Parents, guardians who are interested in the virtual academy option should complete the Digital Virtual Academy Parent Survey. Then, if applicable, the ECISD Virtual Academy Commitment Form. Families needing assistance can call 432-456-8492. ECISD encourages all students to attend school in person, as it is shown to be the best option for academic improvement and social and emotional support, yet is glad to be able to offer this virtual academy option for qualifying students. Chamber receives State Economic Award. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce received the Texas Economic Development Council's Community Economic Development Award during a Thursday ceremony in Fort Worth. The prestigious state award recognizes organizations that make exceptional contributions toward the economic vitality of their communities. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce was recognized for its creativity, leadership, and partnership in the achievement of business retention, business recruitment, and community improvement. I am so proud of our chamber staff, all of our taxing entities, and numerous business leaders for working together to keep Odessa in the forefront of economic development in West Texas, President CEO of the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, Renee Earls, said. Our can-do spirit once again proves that Odessa is the place where growing business can reach their full potential. Death notices from the Odessa American for Saturday. Dolly Calhoun, 82, of Midland, died Wednesday, October 13th, in Midland. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m., October 18th, at First Methodist Church, Midland. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland. Arrangements are by Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. David Anaya, 84, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October 6th, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. Monday, October 18th, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Hello, this is Cindy, reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, October 17th. UTPB trains oilfield engineers. Young mechanical, petroleum, electrical, chemical engineers make top dollar, by Bob Campbell. Engineers will always be required in the oil field, and it is a need that the University of Texas Permian Basin is pulling out all the stops to address. Dr. George Nana, Dean of the UTPB College of Engineering, and Amanda Benson of Midland, President of the Basin's chapter of the Texas Society of Professional Engineers, say the work is interesting and the money appealing for those who master the curricula and get their degrees. Dr. Nana said his graduates at the three-story, $55 million UTPB engineering building that was opened 2 years ago at 11105 West Highway 191 are having no problems getting jobs for as much as $140,000 a year, and many are working as interns at area companies and making $25,000 to $32,000 a year before they get their diplomas. There are hiring opportunities in all four areas, Nana said, referring to the department's established petroleum and mechanical fields and its two-year-old chemical and electrical programs. He and his 23 professors are schooling 563 students, with 280 in mechanical, 139 in petroleum, 73 in electrical, 40 in chemical, and 31 in the intended program to address deficiencies in subjects like algebra and calculus. For the past 2 years, U.S. News and World Report has said we have the highest paid graduates in the nation, Nana said, adding that the department has graduated 94 students this year. Many join the oil and gas industry. One of the key benefits for this region is having graduates stay here locally and help supply the workforce. He said the mechanical engineers in the oil field design machines and work in analytics, data collection, fluid flow, and the piping networks that carry and distribute fluids, noting that the typical engineer doesn't think there is a problem that he or she cannot solve. Nana said petroleum engineers are involved in most aspects of production, including the design of wells, the dynamics of fluids and gases, and the evaluation of petroleum and its economic aspects. He said the chemical discipline entails such tasks as designing chemical plants, developing biomedical devices, and working in the downstream field of the energy industry, converting oil and gas into gasoline, natural gas liquids, diesel, and other sources of energy. Nana said electrical engineering is a very versatile field, concerning electronic devices, power systems, and power generation, the design of sensors to monitor environmental conditions, and the development of cell phones and computer systems. Asked what makes a good engineer, he said, dedication and being passionate about the discipline. The knowledge of mathematics and physics is very important because their application is needed to solve practical problems, he said. We're emphasizing new technology and automation, as well as data analytics, which I think will be helpful to the oil and gas industry of the future. As a kid, if you're always wondering how things work, tearing things apart and trying to put them together, you may wind up being an engineer. Nana's department is also looking at advancing the manufacturing uses of 3D and 4D printing and converting the brackish water from oil wells into irrigation water for non-edible crops. Benson, a civil engineer, he works in road building and land development at the Park Hill Company in Midland, said her chapter of the Texas Society of Professional Engineers has 55 of the region's 450 working engineers as members. The Texas Tech graduate said getting licensed by the Texas Board of Engineers and Land Surveyors entails passing its fundamentals of engineering examination, working for 4 years, and then passing the professional engineering exam. Benson said a ME license is not required unless an engineer's work involves direct contact with the public, like civil engineering does. Oil Fair president has paid his dues. From his humble beginnings as a construction worker and later a tool pusher, Odessa's Tommy Pipes has never been afraid to pay his dues. That attitude eventually carried him to a high-level administration position with Key Energy Services until his retirement in 2011. That retirement didn't last long, however. The same year, he joined forces with several partners to launch the highly successful Platinum Pipe Rentals. It also made him the perfect choice to serve as president of the Permian Basin International Oil Show, which he's had to steer through 2 years of COVID-19. We did have to cancel last year's show for the safety of all, Pipes said, but we're doing good. We have outstanding board members, committee chairs, and excellent community volunteers with a lot of experience doing this. It's made it easy for me. I just have to support their efforts. A longtime executive board member, Pipes' well-rounded knowledge in various aspects of the oil industry also made him the logical choice to oversee this year's event, his peers say. Pipes, 66, was born in Bryan and is a 1973 Bryan Hill graduate. From 1974 to 1981, he worked in the construction industry in the Bryan College Station area before moving to Odessa in 1981. where he was hired as tool pusher by Yale E. Key. For the next 30 years, Pipes worked his way up the ranks through the company, which would eventually become Key Energy Services. After working as a tool pusher for several years, he was promoted to district manager, area manager, vice president of Permian Basin Operations, and then junior vice president of Lower 48 Rig Operations. The first crossroads Pipes faced was leaving behind his construction job and starting over as a tool pusher. The thought of starting a new career is a scary proposition to consider. It was a tough decision, but the right decision, Pipe says, looking back. I had to think about the long-term opportunities and consider where the ceiling was for me. It's tougher for younger people to see that. The gamble was successful, but Pipes had to be patient and start at the bottom again with Yale E. Key. His persistence paid off as his role advanced with the growing company. Although he really did intend to retire in 2011, he saw a niche opportunity with Platinum Pipe Rentals, which has grown into a full-service drill pipe and tubular rental company that serves the Permian Basin, South Texas, and East Texas. Pipes is a co-owner in the company, which also includes Larry Nunez, Mickey Padilla, and Scott Sparkman. The four men all have different backgrounds in the oil business, which complement each other, Pipes said. I had the opportunity to start a business with friends, Pipes said. We all share the same values and belief in serving customers. Plus, we all have a lot of experience in the business and had a lot of contacts that we brought to the table. The once four-person company now boasts 28 full-time employees. Pipes said the company's conservative approach is a big reason why it's been a success. Our industry is cyclical, Pipes said. There's times when you have more work than you can do, and other periods where everything stops. During these slower periods, the company invests in key personnel and equipment that other businesses are cutting loose to save money. It's been a successful formula, Pipes said. When he's not occupied with work, the father of two sons is spending time with his six grandchildren or on a golf course. Taking time to spend with family and enjoying life is just as important to finding success, Pipes said.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.